Hi, I'm Liam O'Rourke, and despite popular opinion, I think that WWE.com is a beacon of journalistic integrity amongst an otherwise destitute wasteland known as the internet. Now, where's my Viva La Savings coupon?
I'm Carl Jones, and the last time I saw lists with 50 items on, they included Yokozuna's takeaway order, Scott Hall's bar tab, and the number of outstanding warrants for New Jack's arrest.
I'm G. John Chase, and today at work, I saw a man with boobs. Not a fat man, a skinny man with shaved head and mustache, packing a cleavage. That's my life right now. It's been a slow week.
And I'm Kieran O'Rourke, and I'm shocked and appalled there's no Trish Stratus on this list today. I can honestly say that her Wood promo is the only promo I would pay to have recited to me down the phone. So in my opinion, that must be a factor.
This is the panel for the 37th Squared Circle Gazette Radio, and you can hear us break down WWE.com's Top 50 Talkers of All Time list next.
Talk to me, talk to me, talk to me.
Hello everyone and welcome to the 37th Squared Circle Gazette Radio. I am Liam O'Rourke alongside G. John Chase,
Mortal Kombat,
Carl Jones,
Ooga,
and Kieran O'Rourke.
Aha!
And we are back today after a couple of feedback-heavy podcasts in the last couple of weeks. We are doing one today where we are analysing WWE.com's Top 50 Talkers in the History of Professional Wrestling. We've done one of these shows before, looking at WWE.com's Top 50 Heels, and that was a discussion that generated a lot of controversy and merriment around this table. So looking for very much the same thing today in terms of our opinions on WWE.com brass's opinion on great promos. As a huge fan of promos and hype in professional wrestling, I was very much looking forward to this when I realised there was a list. This was a list that WWE.com put out last April, so it's been about a year when this was made, just for a bit of a context on the time. So we're going to break through it today from 50 all the way through to 1.
I think, yeah, before we go any further, we should really, like, what is the criteria, our criteria for best talkers?
Yeah, since we're going to be throwing our two cents in here, actually, I like that idea a lot, so maybe we'll actually edit this in earlier on, who knows?
Nah,
fuck it.
That's all right.
So go ahead, Kieran, what do you think? Well, when you personally look at this, what do you think?
Yeah, well, for me, it's two main things for me. Well, probably three things. Personality / delivery, actual content of promos, and the effect on business they've had, which I think allows for a lot more, create a bit more debate, because it's not just, I think when people think talkers, they go automatically to personality.
Yeah, and there's a distinction between charisma and the ability to be on a microphone.
As we get through this list, I think those my personal criteria would probably come into play more anyway. So,
G?
Body of work is also a lot of things, because also, like, looking at some, not to really spoil anything, but looking at, like, later on in some of the lists, there's a lot of people who I'm looking at and thinking, I remember one great promo you did.
They had some high points, but it's that sustained high point versus...
It's who was able to deliver, not just on an occasion, but more constant as we move further up the list.
But I'm glad you referenced the point there, Liam, of the difference between being charismatic and being a good talker, because I think they're two that often sort of get merged together, and it's very easy to get lost in the shuffle in that sense. If you will look at someone and go, oh, you know, he was fantastic, and you sit there and think, well, he was charismatic, but I don't ever remember him being a good talker at any point.
On the lines of a Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, so the big thing to me, I guess, is content, really. The body of work is paramount as well. But content is crucial to me, because there are too many people that sort of will get elevated up to a point, and I'll look back at their promos and think, they were entertaining, they were good, but they were often catchphrase heavy and sometimes weren't necessarily appropriate for the feud at the time, or didn't really go along the lines that I would expect or hope them to.
In blocks of five, first of all, at number 50, Scott Steiner. At number 49, Joel Gertner. At number 48, Jimmy Valiant. At number 47, Zeb Colter. At number 46, New Jack. Initial thoughts around the table about these five talkers being placed on this fantastic list.
The greatest talkers in all companies of all time.
Well, we had this kind of issue before when it came to W.com's list, in the sense of trying to find rhyme or reason or some kind of particular methodology. In the end, I think we determined there really wasn't one. Yeah. So this, it should probably be noted here that it's a Joey Styles list. So of course there's some ECW influence in that probably does not belong. But
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Well, there's two on this list already.
Don't have to wait long.
So I'll let you guys jump in now.
You know, we might as well start off with number 50, because, I mean, when you think of Scott Steiner and promos, he's not particularly eloquent when he's doing his promos, and there's never really a point to them. It's more just the fact of
he's a fucking maniac.
Yeah, it's just like letting a lawnmower go without anyone driving it, really. It's just like, just watch the chaos happen and the mess, because it's just like Scott Steiner will just say whatever he wants. So it's a bit of a, I like Scott Steiner, but it's a bit of a weird one to have him as down as one of the best talkers, when he's just like...
Through all the territories, through all the countries, through everything that's happened in the rich history of professional wrestling, the 50th best orator of our time, not even of just of our time, but in the history
of all time,
is Big Papa Boner himself.
I will say, in defense of Scotty Steiner, I have a lot of probably more casual than casual wrestling fans, and the one guy who they always talk to me about is Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
I guess just because he had like a year when he was actually different.
Yeah.
And yeah, a lot of people like the guy, but oh, come on.
Yeah, it came off legitimately fucking crazy, and he's very entertaining.
It worked to that extent. And some of his promos in TNA did have their comical moments, such as...
I ain't got no sugar!
Yeah, when it came to Bully Ray and the old Samoa Joe ones about him being fat.
And a half-breed.
The half-breed. Scott Steiner threw what would be, in large parts, an incoherent mess... would have this odd little gem that would just have you chuckling to yourself as you watched it.
I got the largest arms in the world. You see that, Joe? That's a vein. Something you don't have, you little fat bastard.
I don't see anybody in this bottom five that belongs, in my opinion, in a top 50 list. New Jack, underrated talker in a similar aspect to Scott Steiner, wouldn't consider him a great promo of all time.
No, I'd pretty much echo those sentiments wholeheartedly. An underrated talker, and as you say, very charismatic, but when you go through everything over the course of time, and it, like you say, it's the same thing with Scott Steiner. You think, really, these two cracked the top 50?
Yeah. It's like, even in its own context, if they want to put ECW guys on the list, New Jack wasn't even the best promo in ECW around this time. You got like a Steve Corino. If you're going to put in a Joel Gertner, where's Cyrus? You know, stuff like this. It's like, there's just no credibility to this at all to me.
Joel Gertner's... I'm sure we all had a bit of a chuckle and a good laugh at some of the opening salvos he'd do for a show or a pay-per-view. But really, outside of that, and his ring entrance for the Dudleys, didn't mean a lot, did it?
The Joel Gertner, it kind of comes across as a friend helping someone out there a little bit, you know, it's just kind of like, of anyone, that was the one I kind of looked at on the list and kind of went, what? Where'd that come from? New Jack, you know, if you guys think of anything that you like about him, fine, but the fact that you guys underrate him instantly overrates him in my eyes, because I think he's got absolutely nothing to offer.
If I can just jump in here a moment, because this is a very clever way of sort of twisting what we say to project what you want.
Didn't you say he's underrated?
Appear. Yes, but to say someone is underrated doesn't necessarily mean that we think they're either A, good, or B, great, and as we acknowledged, do not belong on the list. So, whilst we did say that, it's another thing entirely to twist it to fit the story that you wish to portray.
Oh, it's like a bloody court case again.
It is.
I'm still on my first beer, that's why.
Number 48, Jimmy Valiant, very much fits into the category for me of a charismatic guy who I wouldn't say was a great promo guy. Seb Coulter, Dutch Mantel, very good, but again, wouldn't put him this high. Wouldn't put him in the top 50.
Yeah, I was going to kind of avoid talking about Dutch because I'm not familiar with his body of work as Dutch.
Articulate talker, but all time, come on. We'll move on to the next five here. At number 45, the Grand Wizard of Wrestling.
Kevin Nash.
No. Number 44, Brian fucking Pillman. Number 43, JBL. Number 42, Thunderbolt Patterson. Number 41, The Miz. Let's
awful.
So, standout ones here. Well, The Miz, obviously, being in the top 50 talkers of all time, is obviously going to be something that probably sticks out like a sore ass. The Grand Wizard, top 50, not for me. Again, time and place is a lot when it comes to promos, and I understand that. But to me, even watching it back in retrospect, I couldn't say top 50 of all time.
Brian Pillman, however. I was going to start there, but I think I'll sit back and let you go with this one first, Liam.
I know you're a big fan. His number one fan.
Absolutely.
When I saw that, take your fanboy mind off, but honestly, that's a little bit low for him, isn't it, on the list? He should be higher.
I, as his biggest fan and the guy that has the fanboy glasses on, I don't know if I put Brian Pillman top 50 of all time.
What? I just think longevity. What did he do?
Yeah, I mean, he had a great period with the Hollywood Blondes. He had the great set. Yeah, the great
longevity is going to be hard when you're dead.
Well, obviously,
that's irrelevant.
The point, though. It's still fair. Again, you said yourself that the three words "body of work." When it comes to Brian Pillman, dead or not, unfortunately, I wouldn't say, because the thing is, again, and this actually goes back to your point when it comes to, you know, brief high points versus sustained excellence over a period of time. Brian Pillman had great individual high points with the loose cannon gimmick in ECW. He looked awesome. He had promos here and there that I
about the Hollywood,
think,
yeah, don't overlook the Hollywood
not
Blondes.
Not sleeping on the Blondes. I love the Hollywood Blondes.
There was a good period, you know, when he began and stuff, you know, they didn't really give him much mic time, so he couldn't really develop. You know, that was just a scenario he was in. But once he started getting the opportunities to start doing promos, like when he was in Hollywood Blondes, he gained obviously a lot of momentum before the rug was pulled out from underneath him, which is not his fault. And then when he started developing the loose cannon gimmick, for the amount of time that he was left on this planet, you know, he was the loose cannon and he was entertaining. So I think when the opportunity arose for him to step up, I think he did. And so in that context of the body of work, even if it's a small body of work due to the length of his career, I think he certainly did enough to be in the top 50, and I think he actually did enough to be slightly higher than 44.
Like I said, huge Pillman fan. I could talk Brian Pillman all day long. If he's in the top 50, for me, he's in the fringes, and that'd be maybe partly biased, I don't know.
Yeah, I think...
Again, we're talking wrestling history here. Yeah, when we get to the amount of guys who aren't on this list that should be, it becomes a little bit more debatable.
And I don't know, with Pillman as well, you got that kind of main event... irrelevance,
in the big picture.
Yeah,
whilst I would sympathise with the idea of, you know, he wasn't given that many opportunities, I don't really think that's something that we can properly look at when we're assessing a list such as this.
Yeah,
because by that logic, you could then stick someone in. You said body of work, and you said even if it's a small body of work, well, by that logic, you could pull someone in who say had three great promos, and then in theory. You know, this is completely hypothetical, but had three great promos, then lost their voice when we're never able to speak again.
Well, we have got the Miz at 41, so there you go. There's a guy who had a couple of great promos, and that's about it.
He lost his push, not
even lost his voice.
I'm not advocating for the Miz to be on this list. So.
What about JBL? JBL's an interesting one for me, because he's a guy who's a very, very good talker, great delivery. It goes back to your criteria, I guess, but I don't know. I don't know what you guys would think about JBL.
He might make my top 50. He'd be on the fringe, but he might make it. I know he was a low-drawing champion. I don't really put the fault on that for his promos. I think some of his promos were fantastic.
I'd agree with that.
I think that the low-drawing element comes more to do with the fact of it was a character that came out of nowhere when you consider the move from Bradshaw, member of the APA, to JBL.
And the fact that he's a mid-carder.
And the fact that he'd been a mid-carder throughout. So I think that, you know, it was doomed before it ever began in that sense. But I thought his promos were really good. When he first started on commentary, and he's almost become a bit of a parody now, I grant you, but when he first started on commentary, I thought he was really good.
Yeah, very underrated on SmackDown those early years. Like, Kieran, you're a big advocate of early JBL on SmackDown.
I like him still now. Like I said previously, I just take him as doing like a Ron Burgundy gimmick, so I find him entertaining. Yeah, he's a really good talk. I mean, yeah, if going on the previous, depending on your weighting of your criteria, longevity and impact on the business, it's probably, you wouldn't have him anywhere near this list. But as a pure orator, he's probably takes some beating. Yeah. Versatile as well, I think. So.
I thought about Patterson, a guy whose promo style, again, I just don't really like. I understand that he drew well in Georgia and he had the... I guess kind of the rep of being a good talker because he was a draw in Atlanta. Everything that I've ever seen of him would not lead me to believe top 50 promo of all time. I don't know if anybody wants to add anything further to the Miz.
It's a hard sell to put him in the top 50.
1,000.
No, that's a bit too far. What you've seen about New Jack, I'll probably say about the Miz, actually. I'll put that in context of the Miz of saying that. I think he's a little bit underrated.
Well,
to
if
what
you
think
the Miz is underrated, then more power to you.
Yeah, the Miz is slightly underrated, but, you know, again, he shouldn't be in the top 50 at all.
To be fair to the Miz, I think the Miz is kind of hurt by basically his in-ring perception and, you know, the way the push went. It's kind of the ultimate fight. For a period, he was good, but I think he needed to develop more as a character and obviously as a, you know, a larger-than-life personality and confidence with himself as a star. And when that went, it's kind of largely irrelevant for him.
Moving on to the next 10 on the list here. At number 40, we have Kevin Sullivan. Number 39, William Regal. Number 38, Taz. Number 37, Stephanie McMahon. And at number 36, the big cat, Ernie Ladd. Curious to see the ones that jump out to you here as we move on.
Kevin Sullivan, I feel, is kind of like, again, Joey Styles is kind of doing the job there for someone who's...
I disagree.
And I would concur.
Yeah, Kevin Sullivan, I would not say, but first of all, I probably wouldn't put him in my top 50. I'll say that. Because I, and again, time and place, I understand. Watching it back, seeing the little guy from Boston doing the devil gimmick, there's a disconnect there for me when I watch it back. Very good talker, though. I mean, he was very, very scared. Considering the guys that are on this list so far, Kevin Sullivan is one of the least offensive ones on there.
Yeah. Regal's a tricky one. Because I do like Regal, but if you ask me, like word association, what do you think when you hear Regal? I don't immediately think talker. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying that he's necessarily not a good talker at all, but he's just a bit of a weird one. I saw him on there. I just think he doesn't immediately spring to mind in my top 50.
That's fair enough. I love Regal. Don't get me wrong, and he has done some great work. If you actually,
he's a great character.
If you phrase this question differently and you say, who are your favourite 50 characters of the last 10, 20 years of WWE? You can make a case for Regal with his great facial expressions and the runner's commissioner and so even just some of the great promos he's done in the past. He has done some really good work. Top 50 of all time? No, not for me.
Yeah, similar to Miz, I think this is company weighted heavy. He's good. He's been a good talker within there last 20 years there or whatever, so he'll go on the list. But no, I enjoy him, I like him, but I can't have him on the list. On an all-time list, not for me.
When it comes to Sullivan, again, I think he... I haven't done a 50 list myself, but I think he'd be on the fringes of it again.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because whilst you mentioned time and place and the whole satanic thing is a bit hokey, I think if there was ever a person who could give a sort of a shred of believability to it, it would be this short, almost demented, manic fucker from Massachusetts. I think it's something that would work in that sense. And it drew.
That's the argument against the whole watching 20 years later.
I think what would probably does Kevin Sullivan a disservice
30 years later, I should say, sorry.
Is some of the later promos towards the end of his career and the real hokey stuff with the Dungeon of Doom.
Yeah, that does taint a lot of his reputation.
Regal, again, I think the character element's a very good point in terms of differentiation between what is someone who's an excellent promo and someone who plays the character to a T. In terms of people who do not belong anywhere near this list, because let's get to them. There are two side by side at number 38 and 37 in Taz and Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah.
You talk about someone doing the favours, G, when it comes to old Joey Boy doing the list here. That is certainly the case with Taz. He's not one of the top 50 talkers of all time. There's probably a case to be made to say that he wouldn't even make the top 10 of an ECW list of talkers. At best, you wouldn't even say he's a slam dunk for top 5 of ECW, surely.
Foley.
Raven.
Austin, during his brief period of time. Could argue Carino.
I think you could throw Cyrus in there.
Shane Douglas. Terry Funk.
See how you've reeled off those names pretty quickly. And I put them all above Taz.
Because at the moment you're looking at the side of his as in terms of his in ring career aspect of being a talker. And you were mentioning
outside of a very brief window on SmackDown, he's been a horrific commentator for years and years and years.
I think to
the point where I'm grateful at last to TNA for something because they didn't send him the check.
Well, I think that's probably more so why he's on the list is because of his SmackDown announcing career, more so than his ECW.
I could absolutely see that in terms of WWE weighted list. Yeah, certainly.
Though personally,
really,
with
Except there's no Jim Ross on the list, so...
Well, that was the thing when I was... When
I was keeping my powder dry for that, you bastard.
Yeah, I was saving for it as well. You know, just thinking, like, when you mentioned Joey Styles, you know, like, Joey Styles and Jim Ross was the big glaring one. Because I was thinking, like, because it's not asking for best promo guys, it's asking for best talkers. It's like, how do you have a list that for best talkers and not have JR on it? That's fucking ridiculous.
Not me.
That is fucking ridiculous.
Trust me, there's other ones that are fucking ridiculous, and we can get to them at the end.
Number 37, Stephanie McMahon. Now, this is
it's the boss's daughter.
I get the sort of vibe from the table. It's almost as if, do we really need to say anything about this?
It kind of goes without saying.
Yeah, but I just want to get everyone else's thoughts on this, because this is something I mentioned to you earlier, Liam. And the company go to, well, not the company, but others have gone to great pains to talk about how she's been excellent at times in her current role. And to me, it screams very much of the, in terms of the reaction she gets, it's very much the old, oh, just get off the screen, we're tired of you, we don't want to see you anymore. As opposed, as opposed to any genuine, God, I hope she gets her comeuppance. It's a, just go away and just leave us in peace.
I will echo the sentiment that I think that she has been, in terms of delivery and execution, fantastic at doing promos and being a complete bitch. The use of her, and Trips as well, of
to,
the...
To undercut everyone?
Of undercutting the entire world, no one gets over on him, and we just... It's 2 years of Steph promos with nobody ever getting any... comeuppance. Now, is that part of the argument here for best actual delivery of promos and stuff like that? That's up to the individual. I'll personally say that I wouldn't put her on this list. No.
Yeah, it does seem a bit of corporate kind of handshake in there of putting her on there. She wouldn't be in my top 50, but I'm not saying by any stretch of imagination she's bad or poor or average.
I think she's fucking terrible.
Oh, she used to be terrible. She had any voice and everything, but like. But I think now, I think she's very good, but not top 50 good.
Yeah, I think she's excellent in terms of her ability. I just hate the positioning of her in Triple H. But I will say, is she the best female talker of all time?
No.
Depends.
I don't know. I wouldn't say so, because when you said that,
who's
immediately...
Better?
I thought Sensational Sherry was better. I thought Sonny was better. AJ's pretty good on that mic when she had that brief moment when she was the GM, was it, or something like that?
I've got to respectfully disagree. Well. With all of them, actually. I think she takes some beating. AJ, I think, is fucking terrible.
Okay. Sherry, again, I put it in the regal boat of great character, but what great promo can you ever point to for Sensational Sherry? Sunny, I could see a bit of a case for, in terms of she was really good, really confident, really played her role well. Did she play her role better than Steph plays hers? Probably not.
To the point being, I think it's a fair argument anyway that Steph's the best. So is that why she's on the list? We needed a woman on there.
If we're gonna go by the quota system, we might as well just throw our hands up and call it a day now.
Well, they have the Rooney Rule in America, don't they? So. Kind of similar.
So we're going to call this the Steph rule from now on.
Yeah,
there must be one woman on every list.
Yeah, it's going to be Stephanie every time.
Ernie Ladd at 36 before we move on. I do think this is actually one of the few in the first 15 that we've mentioned here that actually I would say Ernie Ladd's got a good body of work. I'd say that he certainly belongs in the top 50 list. Although the point of Ernie Ladd does actually bring to mind Bill Watts should be on this list. That's one of the ones that is missing. He was a fucking stellar promo.
I'm tired of going through bureaucracies. I'm tired of saying take it through channels. I'm tired of getting stonewalled. Every legal mind in the country will tell you 900 ways why you can't do it. Your accountant will tell you why you can't do it. The government will tell you why you can't do it. I can't let it stifle me. I can't be cooped up in an office and see these things happen and my hands are tied. I got to make a statement. I got to find out if Cowboy Bill Watts still has what it takes to walk tall.
Carl, I know that you've seen a lot of Mid-South as well, so you can probably attest to the greatness of Bill Watts.
Yeah, babyface or heel, he's great. The most recent stuff I've seen, I think, is probably what everyone's seen with the Russians. And
oh, yeah.
He's fantastic during that. I wasn't always as big a fan. I think you're more of a fan of his commentary than I am.
Oh, I love Bill Watts' commentary.
But, you know, as I say, heel or babyface, perfect in either role, and would certainly make my top 50.
Moving along, number 35, Kurt Angle. Number 34, Bray Wyatt. Number 33, Rick Rude. Number 32, Gary Hart. And number 31, The Ultimate Warrior. This is a very interesting set of five. Maybe the most debatable and intriguing set of five we've had so far in terms of whether they would be on the list and where they'd be on the list if they make the cut. So thoughts, gentlemen, who stands out for you here?
We might as well just talk about the elephant in the room. Bray Wyatt at number 34.
Is that an allusion to his weight?
And the white trousers.
I guess so.
That's the elephant from that five for you?
Immediately, in terms of Angle, Rude and Warrior, I can see an argument for them being not just in the list, but where they are there. Bray Wyatt is just, it has that feel of like, we need to put someone current.
Yeah, we need to validate the current roster.
Yeah, we need to validate the current roster. In terms of delivery, he's very good. The issue with him is which is what Carl was mentioning, which is the contents of the promos, which at times are baffling. To reference, like right now after WrestleMania, he's still doing promos and no one knows what the fuck they're about. Have him not just in the list, but have him at number 34 and higher than certain individuals who I rate higher.
Yeah, Bray, as G alluded to there, and as I'm sure loyal listeners of the podcast will be aware, I'm not a big fan of, and it does come down to that key criteria of content. He delivers brilliantly. He is absolutely brilliant with his delivery, but to me there is just never any hook with the promo. Now the Taker ones I think were a bit better than some of his other work.
I have a question I don't mean to completely interrupt you here, because it's actually going to lead to a point that I think you're going to make. But when it comes to Bray Wyatt, how much of that do you blame on him, the whole directionless promo? Or how much do you think it's the creative team, and I use that term quite liberally, realising that he's a good talker, that delivery is so good, and just sticking him out there to do his usual flim-flam without that hook? Because that comes from them.
It does, and you do get the sense, particularly with a three-hour Raw, of Bray go out there and talk. Unless, of course, he's absolutely lying, and heaven forfend anyone would not tell the truth in pro wrestling. He was on the Austin podcast, and he went to great pains to stress that he had a lot of free reign over what he says and his delivery, and because he referenced a lot about how he refers to the Bible for his content and that sort of thing. So, in that sense, whilst I'd have some sympathy with anyone being told, go out there and talk for 20 minutes, and you can't expect them to have, you know, produce gold every time, I expect there to always be a point to the promo. There has to be a fulcrum to the promo. And with Bray Wyatt, for me, that is just never there. Ultimate Warrior, for me, does not make the top 50 list.
Okay, now this is the interesting debate, because again, it comes to the delivery, it comes to the fact that he was made a star, certainly not from his in-ring work, but from his charisma, and not saying his talking did it. How do you balance this out with all of you, all around the table, when it comes to Warrior being on this list? Do you see him as somebody who, okay, gibberish, you look at actually what he says, and it's like, you can look at this like they're just fuck-awful promos, or you look at it as, for what he is, they're perfect on point, and it made him a star?
I don't think, personally, he deserves to be anywhere near this fucking list.
I would agree.
I think we seem to be flip-flopping over criteria, and I guess that's the point there is now, and it's just... Bray, I think in terms of reciting his promos, I don't think there's many better than him, but I have him very, very high. The content, I'm not as down on, I've never been as down on his content as everybody else, apparently, apart from him himself.
I thought it was just me.
No, everyone in the world's like nearly 7 billion people, but
the Chinese particularly don't like him.
Yeah, they can't make heads nor tail of him. I think the problem with him, it's the emphasis on the promos. When he delivers a promo, it's just left in isolation on the show. They don't reference it on commentary. No one tries to analyse it. It's just Bray doing his thing. If you pick up on anything out of it, fantastic. If not, it's just a bunch of words. It's largely irrelevant. And I think if he's writing himself, it's partly on him, because you need to structure your promo so you've got that hook, as you mentioned. But the biggest thing is, why are you having a guy go out there and talk if there's nothing you want to emphasize for the rest of the show, and actually week in, week out, it's Bray talking 5-10 minutes and nothing matters. Their structure of the show, this, we talk about it all the time, of this, everyone's got like a 15 minute segment maybe, and then you get in and out, and we don't reference, no cohesion, overall feel to the shows, very rarely you have that. But in terms of a pure talker, I think he's fantastic reciting lines.
Gary Hart at 32, I do like actually on this list. I think that there are very few people who are as good at being sinister and doing dark promos as Gary Hart. I think he's really, really good. The JTEX Corporation we've always got time for.
I've insulted your fat, ugly sister. I've insulted your mama. I don't know what else I got to do, Dusty. Maybe I got to slap that ugly wife of yours. Maybe that's what I got to do. I don't know. I've insulted your mama, your daddy, your sister. I didn't insult your sister because I'm just telling the truth about that woman.
Kurt Angle and Rick Rude. These are the two that I'm guessing you wanted to talk about a little bit here, G.
Yeah, it's Kurt Angle. And I think it was the versatility that he had as well. I mean, whether he was doing like the kind of the three eyes, it's true when he first came in, or it was the more serious shtick where he's kicking people's asses, the comedy stuff of Austin in 2001. There's actually a lot of stuff, there's a lot of great individual promos or group promos that he's been a part of where Kurt Angle is entertaining, and he's entertaining through, yes, through the way he uses his face, his expressions, but also what he says, how he says it, and so on. And you know, in the early days he was able to get heat, or later on he was able to get you know, the pops and so on through his little kind of like the promos that he would do. So I think whilst personally I'd have him a lot higher up because I find him entertaining, I think they've kind of roughly got him in the right place here.
I feel this is one that I'm kind of finding hard to debate within myself here, because on one hand I think of, you know, entertaining, yes, but how many truly money promos did Kurt ever cut? At the same time, with whatever he was given, he did do a fantastic job. I find Kurt Angle really hard to grade. I think this one's a bit debatable either way.
I wouldn't argue too much on Kurt. I would possibly have him maybe marginally lower, perhaps. But in sort of a general sense, there or thereabouts. Rick Rude. This may just be a bit of nostalgia on my part. I don't know. But I would have maybe had him a couple of places higher.
Rick possibly. Rude's delivery and the way he is, especially in the ring when he would get to roll up the fans, was just fucking brilliant. I love Rick Rude. There was an interesting point that Heyman made, former manager of Rick Rude, on Steve Austin's podcast, if you remember this, where he said that he felt that Rude's live promos were significantly better than his taped promos and the promos that he would do backstage and stuff, things of that nature. And I kind of go along with that. There's not many Rude, you know, promos other than in the live setting where I was really truly blown away.
Yeah, I'd just jump in there. I totally agree with that. Thinking that I
extremely effective, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but I think maybe with him it's, as you said, it's that the overall, it's the personality and the charisma,
the his name, the look.
Yeah, his innate charisma. It's just, you know, this guy is from the second he opened his mouth.
Yeah, the second he stepped through the curtain with whatever fucking great sleazy music he had.
Yes, I think for me that's kind of leans more towards personality. Similarly to Kurt. So I'll probably have them both maybe 40 to 50.
Yeah, I think that seems like a fair ballpark for me too.
Can I just ask then, on the reference of, because I agree with your sentiments in general on Gary Hart, and I think he's absolutely brilliant. What would you say in terms of placing?
I would probably anywhere from 50 to 35 you could probably make a case for, depending on who else is in the list. Again, without actually making the list, it's kind of hard to see how that weighs out. Might be closer to the lower end than the top end for me. Moving on now to the next tier of guys, and we're starting to get into some heavy hitters here. Number 30, Michael P.S. Hayes. Number 29, Nick Bockwinkel. Number 28, Raven. Number 27, Jesse the Body Ventura. And number 26, Jerry the King Lawler. A very interesting group of three here. Probably the most, the five most worthy people to be on this list so far. And hopefully, and thankfully, they're the highest.
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet five.
Pretty sweet five there.
If it was verbal basketball, that'd be a solid starting lineup. I'll just go straight to Jerry, because it's Jerry.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why the fuck's he this low?
Right, I say maybe he's been like his whole life's been averaged out.
But
because he's fucking atrocious now. But goddamn, I as pure natural talker who will get people to buy tickets. Him in Memphis, man.
He's top 10 for me. Jerry Lawler, yeah, top 10 pro of all time.
Easy, yeah, definitely.
The Memphis stuff is great. And even as I say, even as recently, it was that long ago even now, but the stuff in 93 with Brett is fantastic, and the way he's, when, to use the one example, when they were still filming Raw in the Manhattan Center, and the way he's berating Brett's parents is just absolutely fantastic. Yeah, Jerry's great in that period. It's like you say, Kieran, it's almost as if he's being penalised for sort of, not so much for the previous 30 years and more sort of the last 10.
Yeah. In terms of Ventura, this is a particular axe to grind because he's my favourite in terms of commentary of all time. And Ventura is, and we'll probably go into this down in like future podcasts when we probably talk about, you know, commentators or something like that. Ventura is so influential to me, particularly when I was like younger watching wrestling. He was probably influential as to why I supported quite a few heels in my time. The fact that he's number 27, I think there's some sort of like something going on there, because and particularly, again, controversially, you might not agree, but to looking at some of the names that are immediately following him that are higher up the list, I'm thinking,
we'll get to that.
Sorry, Ventura is better.
I would argue that of this five that we just mentioned, from 30 through to 26, four of them should be higher. I think Bockwinkel was fucking brilliant.
I'm gonna say you want to talk eloquence.
God damn,
Nick Bockwinkel is an eloquent son of a bitch. The man, just the way he would deliver a promo, just oozed class.
So smooth,
more
man.
So than Booker T.
Chucky Ducky Quack Quack.
Yeah, I'm just glad he's not on the list. Michael P.S. Hayes, one of the best promos I've ever seen. Why is he this low? Number 30?
It was his job.
That just seems...
his job in the fucking Freebirds.
Outrageous. Raven?
Bad Street of Energy.
Raven. I'm not sure where I'd put Raven. I do hold his stuff in high regard, but I'd probably put him lower when it comes to the all-time greats.
It's like, to me, he's a bit high.
Yeah, I think he's high.
Because when we talk body of work and longevity, he had that great stint in ECW through 95, 96 and early 97. After that, he never really got to fully showcase himself in WCW. And when he came back to ECW after that, you know, drugs being what they are, you know, I don't think I really need to elaborate much on that.
And oh, those pesky drugs.
And in, oh no, sorry, demons. Because we can't say drugs. They weren't drug takers. They weren't drug addicts. They just had demons.
Jesse's low too. You mentioned Jesse in terms of like his great commentary and stuff like that. But I mean, watch his stuff in the East-West Connection with Adrian Adonis in the AWA. His promos are exceptional there as well.
Probably have Raven on the list still. But
I think I would too.
He'd be very, very low. Maybe 50 to 47-ish.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
See, I'd agree in terms of pushing Lawler much further up the list. Not so much Ventura, though. Yeah, and I'm a Jesse fan. I'd probably move him a bit higher. He wouldn't go more than, say, two or three more places up, I don't think.
Looking at the next five here, the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase at number 25, Terry Funk at 24, Shawn Michaels 23, Harley Race 22, Edge at 21. I'm keen to know, as we tickle the loins of the top 20, what you guys think of these guys?
Well, for a start, I don't think any of us are sold on Edge at number 21, surely to God.
Nowhere near my list.
Nowhere near your list in general?
No, he's good, solid, but just nothing that tickles my ivories to make him stand out. I think
Edge is such a weird one, because again, he's always one of these guys, and he's like a fringe Observer Hall of Fame guy at the minute too, and this is kind of like the eternal debate with
Big
Edge.
Big Dave has his way.
Oh yeah, Big Dave's a big Edge proponent. I can see the point of him maybe being a top 50 candidate.
I when I was looking at the list, I was not surprised at all that he was placed at exactly 21. Within the ethos of the company, they believe Edge is like a great promo guy, but they didn't want to put him in the top 20. They didn't want to put him in the top echelon of people. So I wasn't surprised that if I was to guess before I saw this list where Edge would be, I'd probably have said 21 or 22.
Oh, shut up.
I think probably the reason why he's put in there is whilst he doesn't necessarily have anything you can immediately come to mind as like individual promos that are fantastic, I think it was more just the consistency of good they had. He was just consistently good on the mic, whether it was on Raw, SmackDown, whether he was a part of Edge and Christian, or he was an IC champ, or the Rated R superstar, whatever. He was just like constantly good. Now, whether you think that someone who's just constantly good is enough to be 21, that's the debate. I think it's certainly good enough for him to be in the top 50, but probably not 21.
On a similar note, I'm keen to hear what people think about Ted DiBiase this high on the list.
Maybe I'm going to sort of, without wanting to contradict myself here, because I mentioned that I'd possibly push Rude slightly higher. But at the same time, I openly acknowledge the point that Kieran made, where with Rude, maybe it is a bit more about the character. So maybe the Rude stuff is me, you know, my fanboy sort of, the element kicking in and not being able to push it to one side. But Million Dollar Man for me certainly falls into that category of great character.
Yeah.
Because outside of the Million Dollar Man stuff, do you remember any really good promos? Was he much of a talker in his Mid-South and UWF days?
Yeah,
I don't really recall.
As a heel in Mid-South, I like DiBiase's stuff a lot as a promo guy. But again, it's like very good mic skills accentuated by a better character. And in terms of being a great communicator, I wouldn't put him above any of the previous five, to be quite honest.
You mentioned talkers and sort of the time and place for things. And the DiBiase character is obviously perfect for that late 80s mold where you're still in that almost, you know, the greed is good mantra.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a perfect fit for the time. Not that he wasn't a good promo, he was, but it's the character that you remember more so than, say, the natural talking ability to me.
For me, when I'm thinking of the Million Dollar Man, I think the reason why the gimmick worked so well was because I think DiBiase was a good talker and he was able to portray...
Perfect match kind of thing.
Yeah, perfect match. He was able to portray the character via his verbal skills. And, you know, obviously great voice, even better laugh, greatest laugh of all time of the history of man. But I would certainly have someone like Jerry Lawler and especially Ventura higher than DiBiase.
Okay, well, what about... Because to me, these two should be higher. Funk and Race.
Yeah. Funk agreed, Race disagreed.
Okay, can you...
Yeah, Funk is awesome. Funk's one of my favourites of all time, so I'm going to be, not necessarily biased, I just think he's absolutely fucking tremendous. I think that he can go all over the page in a manner that very few people can. I think that he can get a genuine emotion with his words that very few people can. Harley Race was great in his role, excellent in his role, but I think if he makes the top 50 for me, he's fringe. By no means it's a slam dunk, especially when we're looking at the guys that were left off the list. It's like every single one of the guys I'm thinking that are left off the list, I can make an argument are better than Harley Race.
Funk, we talked about Lawler's great classic stuff in Memphis. Whenever I think Lawler, I instantly think Funk because of the empty arena match and, you know, my eye, Jay, my eye. The range that he had, in the sense that he could come across like the crazy madman. I think Cornette always used a line that Funk had said to him, I can't make them believe that wrestling is real, but I can make them believe that I'm real.
Yeah.
And he could come off as that crazy madman whilst, you know, a couple of years down the road, he's coming off as the wise, sage uncle almost.
Yeah.
Still crazy. Don't get me
crazy
wrong.
Crazy uncle.
Still crazy. The crazy uncle at Christmas. But... The sort of the soft drawl he had with the way he would speak as well. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. And I probably wouldn't have him and Lawler too far apart.
What I would like to do is to challenge that fool, Jerry Lawler, to this kind of a match, to where he would go ahead and wrestle me, and if I defeat him, I'd get to take a quart of motor oil and pour over his body and take 5 pounds of dirt and pour that over his body and turn him into a dirty, filthy, stinking Florida cracker.
Terry Funk is out of this world. How he's not in the top 20, I do not know. Kieran, I need to ask you this. Number 23, Shawn Michaels, one of the best
Michaels.
Talkers of all time, because me and you are huge Shawn Michaels fans, but I can't put him here.
He'd make the list, I think. Shawn's so natural that when he's doing his babyface storytelling, he maybe doesn't get the respect he deserves. I mean, he's not a catchy promo. He doesn't have catchphrases. He's never had catchphrases. I can see why he'd be overlooked, but he's a really solid storyteller. The heel persona is probably more...
What an obnoxious cock he was.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck me.
And that kind of combined talking with his, obviously, his natural dickish personality at the time. So he definitely met the list night, you know, but I agree, he's high for me.
When we talk, well, Carl mentioned kind of association there with Lawler and Funk, just to throw this in very, very quickly, does Bret Hart make the top 50 list for anybody around the table? Because Bret Hart has the reputation of being a fairly average promo, at best in some cases, but I think that Bret Hart, as he got more confident as time went by, was an extremely effective promo. You want to talk about Harley Race, I think that's a good comparison, where even before that, even as a babyface, like the promo he does at SummerSlam 94, I think, off the top of my head, with where he's building up to the Owen Hart match. As a babyface, he's very down to earth, he's very simple, and I'm not sure if I'd say top 50 of all time, but again, fringe for me, because there are times, even as a heel, where, man, in 97, he was fucking great.
Well, there's that G you mentioned earlier about flamboyancy, I think. And much like Harley Race, with Bret Hart, you don't get that flamboyancy. But what you get to me is a sense of realism. Everything that he utters is believable. It comes across as genuine. It's not hokey pro wrestling promo, which there's always a place for. And
we all know and love.
Yeah, and we all know and love. I don't mean to try and belittle that in any way. Please don't get me wrong. But that those promos that have a sense of realism and more of a gravitas to them have always been something I've been much keener on.
Yeah, and again, on the point of, and maybe it is kind of looking at a high point, but the post-WrestleMania 13 promo he does on Raw, where he pretty much explains the last 6 months of his career in terms of the comeback and being looked over time and time again, it's just like, man, that's just brilliant. I love that promo.
And the stuff with the Hart Foundation when they reform, and the way he's talking to Owen, and Owen's blubbering, and he said, if I could take these four men to pump blood through my heart... Just fantastic stuff.
So just very quickly around the table, yes or no, would Bret make your top 50?
Probably would, but he would be bottom half.
Yeah. He would be around the 47 to 50 mark, I think.
Yeah, fringe for me, fringe.
Yeah, I think fringe would be the word for me too. Moving on here to the top 20 that we are entering now. At number 20, Captain Lou Albano. At number 19... Hunter, Triple H. Number 18, the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Number 17, Jim Cornette. And number 16, CM Punk.
I was waiting for when we get to Kieran's boy, CM Punk.
I think CM Punk is an excellent promo.
I think he's a fucking great talker. It's the single best thing you can say about CM Punk.
No, and I will mark out with the best of them when he finally returns. That's nothing to do with my personal feelings.
He's
like
not coming back.
Of course he is. It's all work.
Sean's back.
We're back to Kieran's conspiracy corner.
It's on the list, Liam.
It's on the list.
It's all a work, and they all come back in the end. Now, long before the pipe bomb sort of phase of promos, the stuff that he did in Ring of Honor in his feud with Raven was absolutely
very overlooked.
It is, and you can understand why. But some of the promos he cut there were brilliant when he's tied into his father's alcoholism, and there's a line he used in a promo where when I think about all the things that you've pissed away that I haven't even earned yet, he's a fantastic speaker.
That's a great line to hit.
Top 16, I'm not sure on though.
Okay,
I'm not sure on that.
Yeah.
In terms of those that you've mentioned there, Captain Lou Albano,
top 50. Absolutely.
Really?
Top 50 for me. Oh, dude.
Really?
Honestly, watch fucking hey.
What have you seen that I haven't then?
When Bob Backlund can sell out Madison Square Garden with Afa and Seeker back to back months, and the only reason it did is because of Lou Albano's promos for the Samoans, the heat he had, and I think that goes a long way because he managed a lot of guys who did MSG sellouts for a long, long time.
Would you say in that sense then that he's in the right placing, or is he a bit high?
I think he's a bit high. I think if I'm putting him in here, he's around the 40 mark, 35 to 40 mark. And again, as we balance this out, maybe a little bit further back than that, who knows, maybe a little bit higher. But again, I don't object to this at all.
There was something about that 16th placing where I was just like, that's a little too high for me.
The 16th best talker in wrestling history?
And I do think he is good. I think he's very good. Obviously, we talk about the pipe bombs that he did were all great. He did a lot of good work in Ring of Honor. I thought he did quite a lot of good work when he was in the Straight Edge Society on SmackDown and stuff. You know, he did do a lot of great work.
Heel world champion. God damn, he was great there.
It was just like... Of the two names that are right underneath him, which I think are better than him, they're better than punk.
It's kind of humorous that given that this was 3 months after he left the company, they still put him higher than Triple H on this list. That's
well,
kind of,
yeah,
a little bit of
well,
Triple H.
Let's get to him now.
Let's get to him. No, I'm not going to do the old burst of blood vessel and vent sort of thing. I would just say that to me, he has always been. This isn't to say he's bad. I'll clarify that now. This isn't to say he's bad. But I do feel that he is an overrated promo.
I'd agree with that, and I think at number 19 he's absolutely an overrated promo. No way is Triple H better than Jerry Lawler. I don't give a fuck what anybody says about how bad Jerry Lawler's commentary's been.
He's not better than Terry Funk.
He's not better than Funk. He's not better than I don't think he's better than Bach.
He's not better than Michael Hayes.
He's not better than Michael Hayes.
Ventura's higher than him.
Would you put him higher than Sean?
No, I wouldn't. And I think the only reason anybody's even waiting to think is because Triple H is part of an era that Sean wasn't, where they stuck him out there to talk for 15 minutes and he was the guy who had to anchor it regardless of whether it was good or bad, because there are probably a lot more bad than good when it comes to Triple H's long, long promos.
Well, that's it. And one of the other ways to look at it is when it comes to the DX stuff, he wasn't the best talker in that group.
No.
Not when it was Michaels, and he wasn't the best talker when it was the group that included X-Pac and the Outlaws.
Yeah.
There's just...
Does he belong on the list? Very possibly, because he's done. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that he's done that is very good. Yeah. So again, this is not a Triple H burial here.
No, he should be on the list. Maybe 50.
A nice place
just make him a list.
That's what it is. 50 Triple H, 49 Joel Gertner.
Well, here's the thing, right? Because there's actually quite a gap. Would you say he's better than Stephanie McMahon?
Yeah.
But then Stephanie probably doesn't make my list. So.
No, not mine either. So, Savage is on top of Triple H on this list. There's a Stephanie joke in there somewhere.
Yeah. Fantastic. Right. So I'm going to put them as a pair. Savage and Cornette. So I can just simply quite state for Savage, he's in my top five. Okay. I'm a little bit insulted that he's at number 18.
Okay.
I think he should be higher. Okay. I don't know whether in this general list he should probably be in the top 10. He should probably just make the top 10. But personally for myself, he's in my top 5 because he's one of the most influential guys for me watching it. Jim Cornette at 17, from the fact that the guy knows how to non-stop talk as a particular skill set. I mean, Cornette's fantastic. He's one of the best managers of all time. He's only surpassed by two people I can think of who, funnily enough, are in the top 10.
The thing is, I think that's part of, I don't know who you're talking about, but again, that's modern eyes. Cornette in Mid-South, exceptional. In Crockett, exceptional.
Yeah.
He pretty much carried his own promotion in Smoky Mountain. Yeah. Not that that was a rave success, but WCW in the WWF, Cornette is a body of work.
Well, would you have him higher then?
Is he top 10 or top 5? That's a new question.
He certainly makes my top 10 without question. Whether or not he makes my top 5, that's probably one of those where I'd have to actually construct the list myself and look at it all.
Yeah.
But I certainly have him several places higher than 17, and I certainly put him above a few of the names that have gone ahead of him.
How do you kind of balance Savage out over the course of his career in terms of being a great promo guy?
I think Savage is a very good talker, but my sort of draw to Savage has been more as sort of the whole package as opposed to a particular draw to his talking ability. So to me, I think if I'm looking at that list, whilst I'm having difficulty placing him, I think I would go as far as to say he wouldn't make my top 10.
Okay, Kieran?
I'm really not sure with Savage.
To me, he's one of the harder ones on the list to grade.
It's really, really hard.
Just because of the nature of what he is.
Yeah. I think you'd have to go through it one by one and say better than this guy, worse than this guy.
Yeah.
Because... I don't know, mate, your inclination is to go, put him up there.
And then when you actually compare him to guys that we talked about, like Lawler, it's like, a guy that had to sell out his own area week after week after week after week. And Savage, who is a completely...
Same city every week.
Same city every week. And Savage at the same time, who's completely different in the sense of his promos were all about creating that magnetism that made him such a larger-than-life superstar. And it was completely successful in that regard. So it's very hard to kind of weigh that up to me.
Is that the difference between promo and this list being mate talking?
I mean, if as a pure talker, I wouldn't have him top 20, I don't think. But if you're talking as a promo to promote himself and to promote the act, I don't know, just it's a different thing. Maybe I know what I mean anyway.
I hope you out there can as well.
His early stuff, early stuff for me, when he was Intercontinental Champion, the cream of the crop and stuff like that, and just his general, when the madness was taken over, you know, because you've got lust in your eyes, Hogan, you know, and you know, and just the whole
jealous
thing,
eyes.
Jealous eyes, that's it, jealous eyes, you know, and just the whole work he did with Hogan, I thought was fantastic. And like,
I also
think of that promo he has immediately after Flair match at WrestleMania 8, where he's hobbling on one leg and he hasn't got the shades on, so you can see his eyes and you can see how crazy he is, and he's staring in the eyes, he's thinking like, that guy's gone. He's gonna fucking kill Flair. He's won the belt, but he's still gonna kill Flair.
I just don't know whether he's versatile enough for me, compared to the stellar talkers on this list, to even be compared to them. I just don't. The promo would have to be there for him to give, kind of thing, rather than the guy like a funk who can just make something up and
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I get that. Moving on now to the next tier. Number 15, Arn Anderson. Number 14, superstar Billy Graham. Number 13, Vince McMahon. Number 12, your boy G. John Cena. And at number 11, Jake the Snake Roberts. This is quite an interesting group here. Arn Anderson, I'm surprised, made it this high in the list.
Yeah, there was two things I was worried about with this list. I thought when you said like there was someone on this list, I would hate. I thought you were going to say Hacksaw Jim Duggan made it on here or something like that, and I was going to blow a gasket. I thought there's no one in the world I hate more than Hacksaw. But lo and behold, they bring out New Jack. But in this one, I actually thought, like, the one thing I had in my head is I just thought, you know what, they're going to fuck over Arn Anderson on this list, and he's going to probably make it, but he's going to be in like the 40s or 30s or something like that. This, when I actually look at it, I think is absolutely the perfect place for him. Arn Anderson is an underrated promo guy. I think
everybody knows how good he is.
I think it's, well, okay, but in terms of underrated, is to the extent of how good he is. I think the issue with him in terms of his career was that he, whilst he was good in the ring and so on, he didn't have the look of a champion, like a main event champion. He didn't have that look. He did look like a subordinate, a right-hand guy.
He has the look of a darts champion.
Yeah. But as a talker, I thought he talked like a champion.
Yeah, he did.
I thought he talked just as well as Ric Flair on occasions with certain promos and stuff like that now and again. I thought he talked even better than Flair at times, because there was just something about Arn, which was when we were talking about believability, when you were talking about Bret Hart and so on, or Funk, you know, being believable as being crazy. Arn Anderson, every time I saw a promo from him, I just believed he's badass. He's going to break your arm. he's going to tell you, you know, the 20 different ways he's going to snap your face in half, and he's going to do it.
And during a certain period of time, he would do it wearing a fantastic hat.
I mean, just I was watching, just on a sub note with Arn Anderson, how good he is. I was watching, it's a whole part of the Stud Stable. He turns on Dustin, and he does this promo backstage, right?
Yeah.
And he's doing this serious promo. But in the background, for some random reason, Funk has turned into asshole mode, and Funk just thinks it's going to be a fun idea, along with Bunkhouse Buck, to pour champagne over Arn's head whilst he's doing the serious promo. He doesn't flinch. He gets absolutely drenched. He doesn't flinch. He still carries on about how he's going to kick this guy's ass. I'm just thinking, this guy's a freaking machine.
I understand why people sleep on him. Yeah, because I did myself. He doesn't look spectacular, doesn't look flashy. What's this guy? And then one day I just was watching Arn, and I realised that Steve Austin stole everything from him.
Absolutely. I tell you what, and Tully Blanchard, who should also get at least some kind of consideration for being on this list.
Oh, of course, fucking hell, yeah.
I've got him written down in an email for this.
Ole Anderson as well, in terms of the stuff he did in Georgia and the Horseman too, but Arn, the one that you're talking about there, I remember there's a compilation of discs I've got of Arn and Tully, and I remember Kieran, me and you watching that whole thing, and it's just a load of promos of Arn and Tully, and there are so, you can just see it, the inflection, the delivery, even though that's the bottom line he stole from Arn Anderson. It's so much of it, it's double A.
Yeah, it was jaw dropping at the time. I think it was a revelation. Hallelujah, as a great man would say. But in terms of actual placing, maybe right. I don't know. I would not. I think you'd have to, at this point, I think you'd really have to, unless
you have to actually flesh out the list.
Because, they should be getting to like the stellar guys now, and he's amongst the stellar guys.
When it comes to the Horsemen, AA was what was causing all this.
Think so?
No. That may be a bit hyperbolic. I want to hammer this point home about content, about things that matter, and things that have that sense of realism. The way he got emotional during the rebuild of the Horsemen in 98. Now, we all know they pissed it away in a matter of weeks after they reformed. But the build up to it, the promos he's doing with Malenko, where Malenko's trying to get him to reform them and all that sort of stuff, is just so brilliant. I absolutely love AA. And I was worried that he would be missing off the list altogether. So to find him on it is pleasing. To find him in the top 15 is even more pleasing.
And to use that same level-headed philosophy that we live 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It starts in the morning, you hit the gym, you get it out of the way. Then it goes strategy in the afternoon, and when you get to work, you put your hands together, you come up with that winning formula, that's how you become a world champion. The Great American Bash to us is just another day for the Four Horsemen to shine.
To Kieran's point, it is difficult in terms of grading once you get to this point, because you are talking about the elite. There's a couple of names further down the list that I would certainly put below AA.
Quick question, is Superstar Billy Graham one of them? Because he's at number 14, one spot above Arn, in terms of points for influence in promo style.
Well, why do we have Hulk Hogan?
Because he's a superstar.
Yeah, and for that reason, he should probably be knocked down the list, in truth. But, no.
Jesse!
a trailblazer. Sort of the more colourful promos, the more colourful talking. You know, you can talk about, you know, Man of the Hour, Too Sweet to Be Sour, that sort of stuff. You know, he was great.
I think the fact that he's 14 on this list, I know the WWE list really just, sorry folks, it's a bullshit list, but the fact that he's 14 on their list, and he'd be probably top 20 on most people's or there or thereabouts, and he's so much out of his time compared to and like obviously the guys he's influenced to are also on the list, that almost in itself that says how much he does stand up or how highly he should be put on the list.
Vince McMahon, number 13.
Vince McMahon. Actually, it's Mr. McMahon.
Mr. McMahon on the list.
It must feel like the memo must go around on email. Like, poof.
Because as a way to tie this in all together, when we did the top 50 heels of all time, it wasn't a consensus, but there was very much a majority thing that Vince may well be the best heel of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's a lot that goes into that. I think he's probably going to be top 10, really. So
it's that kind of begrudging thing of like he is a top 10, and particularly the person who's above him in that list, which one step above him on that list, which I think is just ridiculous.
Which is John Cena.
That's ridiculous. The chemistry he had with Austin and so on. Obviously, his expressions are obviously just priceless from the school of ham and cheese.
The gulp of doom.
The big gulp. Yeah, but it's also the voice, because the voice adds to it, and Harry's I hate you, Austin. You know, like, it was me.
Again, talking about range, Vince can go all over the place.
Damn it, leave. You know, it's just the stuff he can say, just like the most simple line he can say, and it's brilliant. Like, the execution of it will be so simple, and it's so brilliant. And that's, to me, what states is a good talker, where he takes something so simple
than good
and just makes it excellent.
Range and timing are phenomenal. As you alluded to there, Liam, when we looked at the heels list, there was a general sense that, you know, you can make a case for Vince being the greatest heel of all time. Now, you don't get that without his talking ability. So by that logic alone, to me, he is certainly top 10, certainly above John Cena.
On Vince as well, what he had going for him was the legitimacy, which puts a lot more emphasis and importance on every single thing he says. And I've said it all along that Montreal Screwjob was the best money-making angle that company ever did, because it made Vince McMahon the biggest heel in wrestling history.
Which they badly needed. Yeah. We'll move to Cena now, because while I do think that John Cena is a fantastic promo when the time comes for it and when he's actually positioned to do it, we don't see enough of John Cena at his best, I think. But number 11 here, above Vince, not for me, but I'm keen to see what everybody thinks around the table.
Certainly not for me.
Where would you place him, though?
Quite a bit lower than what he is. There's not that consistency with a Cena promo. Whilst there have been some, what I would call, really, really good Cena promos where he's got the fire in the belly and,
yeah,
and he's treating it seriously. I think he delivers those promos fantastically.
Yeah, the one before WrestleMania 28 was in the empty building, and he's talking about the match with The Rock, stands out to me as one of his final ones.
Yeah, some really good ones. But then on the other hand, you get sort of the fluff promos that have the comedy which just doesn't work for me, and that lack of consistency when it comes to a ranking list. Harms. Well, I don't hate Cena as a promo, but it's just that there's too many peaks and troughs with him for me.
Personally, I'm not going to grade him higher than Arn Anderson or Macho Man Randy Savage or Jim Cornette or Jess Ventura or Jerry Lawler. So I think him being anywhere near the top 10, which is, you can see why he's been put there. I wasn't surprised he was there. I'm actually surprised he wasn't in the top 10. I think he's in the top 50, but he should be nowhere near the top 20. At all. You know, he did some entertaining stuff early on when he was a heel and he was doing the rapper gimmick and so on. That was all kind of good at the time period. And the thing is like, there's a lot of people out there, whether it's the more adult male side of things, that have a problem with him. And one of the aspects of the problem with him is his character, which is through the way he talks and so on. You know, it's just like, the board of the promos, I think he has the potential to be really good. But in terms of what I've seen so far, at least what we've had to deal with for the last 10 years, I think him being in the top 20 is an insult because the character isn't working.
He's done a lot of really good promos. I think he's a fantastic talker. Would he make top 20? Maybe not. Top 30 being there for me. I absolutely 100% agree why about the bad stuff, the bad comedy. The real bad stuff for me with Cena is when he's like the no-selling phase he went through, which it was a couple of years ago now. He doesn't really do it that much anymore, and consequently his promos are much better these days as well. Massively important for 10 years. So in terms of that, there's not many people actually, in terms of importance, it could be argued there's not many people who have actually been more important for a period of time like that. Content more than anything we've seen, isn't it? Content.
At number 11 on the list, we have Jake the Snake Roberts, who I think is probably universally considered a fantastic promo, but I'm curious, top 11 here?
I'd probably just have him crack my top 10.
Think so?
I absolutely love Jake Roberts. Content, again, is brilliant. And in a period in time in the 80s and early 90s, where whether you were babyface or heel, by and large, your promo consisted of shouting at the camera and being as sort of as flamboyant as you can and as extrovert as you can. Jake, to me, was this sort of shining beacon of this different way to deliver a promo, and it just completely cuts through to the point where I think his promos from those years still comfortably stack up today. I just think his delivery was excellent. He wasn't so much a character in the promo, his promos played into the character, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's promos first, character second, is what you're saying with Jake.
Absolutely.
Okay, interesting, because Kim, what do you think of the Sam Elliott tribute performer?
I probably don't rate him as highly as others.
Son of a bitch.
Put the bottle down, Carl. It's not time.
It's your last one, just drink it.
Got one more in the fridge.
Oh, shit. I know, you'd never say Cena is on Jake's level, but what would Jake do if he was in Cena's position doing promos, like in Cena's role for 12 years, you know? It's you know, horses for courses to some degree. Fantastic, engaging, different, although I think he may get a little bit of embellishment because of at the time he was so different. But I mean, there's no doubting he was fantastic. But I don't rate him as highly as others, personally. Yeah.
Looking at the top 10, and looking at guys that are missing off the list, I'm inclined to agree with you, Kieran. I wouldn't put him this high. Top 10, I wouldn't say.
He's not as good as Lawler.
No, he's not as good as Lawler.
Well, fuck you all, I'm going home.
At times a passable worker, or decent, you know, depending on what your view is.
He was economical in the ring.
Okay, economical in the ring. It was his promo.
That is to say, you never had a great match. Yeah.
Fuck you, O'Rourke.
You know what? Can I just interrupt? So it's when you drink your beer and you do that thing with your bottom lip. That's when you look like Woody Harrelson.
Oh, yeah. So possibly cheers, Woody Harrelson.
Possibly. There you go.
how he develops his promo. And like, when you watch this guy, particularly when he was a babyface, you're just thinking, this guy just looks like someone you really wouldn't fuck with. He's that kind of guy where like you're at the bar and he's sat in the corner staring at you, and you're just like,
next
you're
to
just,
Harley Race.
Yeah, it's next to Harley Race, and Arn Anderson's on the other end, and you just simply just rotate your chair away and just look away from Jake. You don't want to make eye contact with him, because if you make eye contact with him, he'll think you want to fight him. Fuck with the snake.
That all you want is drugs.
I prefer Kieran's analogy on the previous list analysis, where you said Harley Race is the guy that you wouldn't want to fight. Jake Roberts is the guy that's going to rape your wife.
Yeah, sex offender. That's what I think.
Sex offender. Yeah. The guy that will commit the lowest act you can possibly commit, and he will do it and revel in it.
And that's why he's like, he was kind of very interesting babyface, because he was something like he was the complete contrast to what Hogan was. You know, and then there's this Jake who was just like the dark side. He was like a real anti-hero back in a period where he was very kind of comic booky. And then, like, you know, that easily just transfers to when he was a heel, where he was one of the most demented, seedy, freaking dirty, just rotten fucking heels, where he's just like, this guy's great. And the thing is, because I said he didn't have the look, and he didn't necessarily have, like, the most amazing wrestling ability, he had to sell everything via the language he used and the way he talked. And for that, for him to be as good as he is, he's definitely a top 10. He has to be. He's one of the best talkers ever.
Moving on to the top 10 here, we are at the nitty-gritty, as the great Gorilla Monsoon used to say. Number 10, Chris Jericho.
Nah, this is an interesting one. When you sent this list over, well, actually, before you sent the list over and you talk about this as a topic, Jericho is the one that sprang to mind for me, because I've such mixed feelings on him.
Yeah, me too.
When he was in WCW, he was going to be the new rock for me. He was like, you know, the super charismatic, creative guy. Went to WWE and kind of plateaued for me, really.
And it's stuff from the WWF early years holds up like shit.
I think, whether you say, for me, slightly found out and overrated. And I'd have him in the top 50, absolutely. But yeah, I think he's very, very high on this list, for me personally.
I was going to say, before I throw it to you, G, I think I'd agree there. That early period of WCW, I thought he was very effective in the role he was in. And the other time I thought he was absolutely effective in the role he was in was in 2008, when he did the feud with Michaels, and the late one with Mysterio as well. He was great as that slow talking, again, in terms of like what stands out as different at the time, the slow talking, suited, Nick Bockwinkle-esque heel with it. Yeah, you talk about being a thesaurus. Jericho was great in that regard there. Not this high.
It's you mentioned there in years, when you think of the WCW run, which came to an end in 99, then you're referencing something in 2008. And it's not as if he disappeared for years on end in between the two, is it? So there's such a long gap between what we consider some of his better work.
The thing is, though, I think this kind of weighs into it, Carl, though, because he had the rep during that middle period of time as a guy who could talk and was charismatic. It wasn't like at the time people were saying, "Oh, these promos."
Oh no! One ever said that.
He was looked at as a reliable, good talker.
Period we referenced there, sort of after WCW, but before that heel run in 2008. I wasn't the biggest fan of his promos. He was someone, and I referenced this earlier about the catchphrase laden promos.
Yeah,
I think he's very guilty of that. And when someone has promos like that, they have to be out of this world to sort of to get through to me, really. So for my money, certainly not top 10. He'd make my 50, but he'd be much, much lower than what he is.
I think I'd almost go as far to say I think he's definitely a top 30. But any higher than that, you're then having to, you know, have to develop that list and find out, really, because he was entertaining and fun in that kind of cheesy mid-carder kind of way. And yeah, I mean, that WWF run, I remember, like, when he was babyface in 2000, it felt fresh at the time, like everything did, but that act as a babyface got old pretty quick, I remember personally, for me, and so I was kind of begging for something different from him, and he turns heel. And I, whilst I'm not saying that his verbal skills were still really solid during that 2001 to 2003, early 2004 time, I wasn't particularly impressed with Jericho. He wasn't like a highlight for me of that company. I didn't like that heel run. I kept wanting to see something different from him, wanted to see him develop, because he definitely had the verbal skills for it, but there was no character development. And it, like, he comes back in 2007 and it says a lame baby face. It's just continue. It's only when you talk about that period in 2008 when he you know, obviously his hair's cut and he's gone to the trunks and he's the best in the world at what he does, that he actually changed his character. That was a ton more interesting.
Oh, so than, much more yeah, money than yeah. fucking...
Yeah, stronger narratives in his promos. Personally, that's it's much more interesting. But as you said, I think it was from a business point of view as well. They actually became like a functional wrestling character rather than like this, you know, like an act kind of thing. Which
number 9, Hulk Hogan, in terms of the best talkers of all time. A very intriguing choice here because Hulk Hogan, through just sheer utter charisma, obviously always comes to mind. But in terms of being a promo guy, I mean. There's ones that stand out. Obviously, the heel turn promo is the best one he ever did, in my opinion.
Yeah. You fucked up the name.
The New World Organization. Yeah. Maybe not the best argument for me there, but the rest of the promo, in terms of the meat of the promo, not talking about the meat being sold in the truck in Minneapolis, but in terms of the actual, you know, touching on something that was real, he was really good. There were times when he came off a little bit cack as NWO Hogan as a promo guy.
I think it's more difficult than someone may think on the surface because that. You look at his run at the top of the WWF, and whether people like to admit it or not, being the focal point of WCW's best days, you automatically think, well, obviously, he obviously must have talked people into the building. But it's not quite that cut and dried with Hogan, is it? Because this is one that falls into that category for me of, not that he's a bad talker and couldn't talk, but where the charisma sort of overpowers everything else.
Yeah.
So I do think he's a difficult one to rank, and I'm...
He's high for me. I can't remember what show it was. I was watching sometime, and I think it was WCW, and Hogan walked out, and it was just the... But when he walks out, it's like, God damn, this guy is such a star. When he just walks out, and he oozes charisma, and he knows you're all looking at him. He knows every set of eyes are on him, and he'll cater for them accordingly. Acknowledge I'll be underrating him because of the position and the difficulty, kind of like the Cena thing, really. And I'd probably rank him close with Cena, to be perfectly honest, but higher than Cena because of the achievements and his standing as a pure talker. Nah, it's like I think you've generally you heard one Hogan promo, you know what's coming.
You can guess the steps by steps, and whilst other people who do the same thing would have a little bit of substance in between the catchphrases, something a little bit different each time to make you kind of key into what they're saying, Hogan was just always the same thing. It was, you know, something mean Gene, this guy's done something bad, me and the Hulkamaniacs are going to beat him. Say your prayers, eat your vitamins, what you gonna do when Hulkamania runs wild on you? And that was just pretty much his promo every single step of the time. Which is why when he did the heel turn, it was so fucking goddamn good, because he just did let me tell you something, mean Gene, and then instantly he goes, you're gonna have to tell these people to shut the hell up if they wanna hear what I gotta say, and you're like, bam.
That's it.
That's how you do it. He does the character to hook you in, and then he just smashes it all away and he just talks.
I don't wanna like completely sound like I'm shitting on him, because, you know, that's completely be very naive of me. He could have done that. He could have got rubbish thrown at him if he hadn't have said anything at all.
Yeah.
If he'd just ripped off his shirt and wiped his ass with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing. And in actual fact, that might have been more effective.
Yeah.
I just think he's overrated because of who he is. I don't think he is who he is necessarily because of the promos.
We'll get to these two together in the interest of time, but we have at number 8 Bobby the Brain Heenan and number 6 Paul Heyman. I'm skipping one in the middle that we'll come back to, but I'm interested in kind of bringing these two up together. 8 Bobby Heenan, 6 Paul Heyman. In terms of all-time top, all-time great talkers, top 10, both of them?
Yes. As a talker, Heyman. As a manager, Heenan.
Okay.
Top 15 for the pair. I don't want to necessarily say top 10 because I'm struggling to think on the rankings off the top of my head. Without having that list, I'm finding it difficult with these two, to be honest. But both are brilliant. In specifically with regards to Heenan, you prefaced it there, Liam. He underpins much of that Hulkamania run. When you think of
not just in the WWF,
not just in the WWF. When you think of him as the mouthpiece for Andre. And for any sort of cavalcade of heels that are trying to get the belt from Hogan. And then also, when you get to the WCW run, when Hogan's turning heel, And even before then, when he uses the WWF sort of material in the feud with Flair early doors and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then when he turns heel, and you've got Heenan who's able to go a mile a minute, just saying, "No, this is what I told you about this guy. Everything I said has been completely accurate." And it's that the way that Heenan is able to use that to come across as vindicated throughout it all is absolutely brilliant. And we often talk about commentators and the way they are. They're the perfect sort of side dish to the main course. And the way Heenan does it there is top-notch.
Royal Rumble 1992, in terms of a great commentary performance, obviously stands out. Heenan was excellent. He was excellent for a lot of his commentary run. The AWA run, where he was managing Bockwinkle and Stevens, too. I mean, he was fucking great. I thought he carried the company, to be quite honest, at times. Paul Heyman and him are a very difficult pair to kind of grade, because on a different day, I kind of flip-flop on who I'd put higher. I think I'm going to go with Heyman as well in terms of being a better speaker, a guy who can get that ultimate fire and emotion out of a moment.
With Heyman, it's all his speech.
Yeah,
Heenan, there was so many more layers to him as a performer. I think pure speaker. God, Heyman takes some beating
by anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that's why I'm reluctant to automatically say top 10 and sort of, and basically play it safe and sit on the fence and say top 15, because again, I don't have the list, and by the same token, I probably flip between the two on different days.
Probably would bunk some people down who I've said I'd put up there, just for the fact that these two are definitely top 10, and I think they're kind of rough. I think they're roughly in the right places, and I would have Heyman ahead of Heenan. Because I mean, when you look at you break these guys down. I mean, on commentary, you know, Heyman was a great agitator on commentary, particularly just ask JR, and he was great at that. And you know, whilst Heenan was more of a comic foil and so on, and so was on a more kind of beat by beat kind of basis, Heenan was probably more entertaining because he always had like the one liners and the gags and so on. Both great. You might give the nod to Heenan. Heyman had a lot of good stuff. I mean, obviously he's had a lot of good stuff recently with Brock Lesnar and CM Punk, and you know, he had the Dangerous Alliance and so on. You know, the guy was a promoter as well, and actually used it as a way to promote. You know, like he actually when he was the guy running ECW, he would be on camera a lot, and he kind of promoted it through his verbal skills, and that's why he's like so good. You mean it's hard to kind of like really contrast them, because they were two completely different sets of characters, you know. But Heenan's just something different, man. There's something like that guy is switched on. He is always switched on. He's a different fucking league to everyone else. There's a difference between making an improv comment and making an improv comment that's just both brilliant and hilarious at the same time.
You know, you heard of the long arm of the law. The big boss man has the long hand of the law. That's what IRS told me. He can take more bribes from people that have parking trouble and ticketing here.
You should never talk about anybody having their hand out. You, of all people.
His IRS, he knows what he's talking about, does he?
He's never lied to me. He helped me with my taxes.
I bet he has.
$280 last year I had to pay.
With what you made last year?
A little steep, I know what you're saying, but I get the
right. You paid $280? That's a travesty.
No.
Someone should really look into that.
No.
Alfred Hayes?
No.
I think that's terrible. But then again, he's always like that. He's always telling fibs, lying. When do you ever tell the truth?
You're a good-looking guy.
But with Paul Heyman, it's choices of words, and just, the guy is a promoter at heart, you know. And I always think of that great promo he does, where he's talking with Vince McMahon.
He's a bullshitter at heart.
He's a bullshitter at heart. And this is exactly the promo I'm talking about, where he turns to Vince McMahon. I think it's his work appraisal. Vince McMahon's in the ring, and Vince McMahon's doing the work appraisal, and he just turns around, and he just shouts at him, and he goes, "I'm a promoter."
Of course, I was lying.
Of course, I was lying. I was a promoter, and you can just see a little smile in Vince's face as he's smirking, because Vince is kind of like, he gets it. He gets where he's going. He goes, "I'm a promoter. If I have to lie every day of my life in order to live another day," and he goes, "I will do it." And it's just like, it's
but
something.
I swear on my children's lives, the day I'm not lying.
Yeah, it's just the guy knows how to build his promos up. He knows how to layer the character and so on. It's amazing. Just something like, more so than anyone else.
We skipped one there between number 8 and number 6. Number 7, Mick Foley. Certainly worthy of being in the top 10, in my opinion.
Possibly best storyteller on the list, or at least right up there anyway. Just
remarkable talent.
The analogies that he'd be able to pull out of thin air. The again, talking about range, that emotion that he could get to, the absolute utter visceral emotion of any kind.
I could wax lyrical for hours about Foley, but I won't on this occasion. Suffice to say, a multitude of fantastic individual promos, as standalones, fantastic promos as part of a build-up to it throughout the course of a program. Personally, my favourite promo of all time.
The fact that he was able, through, you know, not obviously not just the looks and so on and the gear, but through his verbal skills, was able to portray four different characters. This guy can, within a year or even within like a month or so, can go from being like a kind of crazy ass character like Cactus Jack to someone absolutely hilarious like Mankind. And it's just, and that's just like it's comic timing.
Don't sleep on the dark period as Mankind though. Don't overlook that any stretch.
Weird to crazy to fun and happy with Dude Love.
He was able to just move back and forth so easily.
Kiss ass heel with Vince.
Yeah.
Obviously his best stuff was the ECW stuff though, which is the
that's,
real
that's Kane Dewey.
Yeah. It's the realness to the character put into a story that people can relate to. Just fantastic.
We move to the top five now, and at number five, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Going to the pay window.
Going to the pay window, the mothership, if you will. Let's talk about Dusty, one of my favourite promos of all time. I think that this is great. I'm very happy that he's here. I know that somebody disagrees around this table, but I think Dusty's amazing.
It's my hand to thin your hand. Dusty's fucking awesome, no doubt.
Between the Hard Times promo that everybody's seen.
It was, what, only a year after I was born? But I lived through those hard times.
To so many. I mean, just the fact that Dusty's DVD set has a whole disc of just promos. You can just go and watch that thing like, this man is amazing. He's absolutely amazing. The horseman needs to ride into the stratosphere because I've reserved this planet for me and you. This, fuck me, Dusty's great. And again, just that he can be that just loud. He's so colourful, but he can just talk very seriously at the same time and get a point across.
Dusty in his prime or Lawler in his prime?
I would probably go Dusty just on the basis that, and maybe this isn't fair to Lawler, but on the basis that Dusty had the national platform as opposed to what was still a territory with Memphis in sort of their peaks, I would go with Dusty just ask me that question another day, it could be different.
Yeah,
off the top of my head now, I'm saying Dusty by nose hair.
I don't know about that. I fucking love Jerry Lawler. I love Lawler's promo so much. Dusty has a more over the top broad charisma that I think may translate better. If I was a promoter, maybe I'd go him, but then again, having said that, I again, like you said, Carl, on a different day, I'll watch a Lawler promo and just think, this is the greatest talk I've ever seen in my life.
The subtle babyface promo.
The facial expressions in Lawler. There, you know what? Right now I'm taking Lawler.
Yeah, I'll take Lawler on that one as well. But I certainly do recognise his great ability as a talker. I mean, he had to. I mean, it was just like, with the exception, ironically, of the guy we just talked about, Mick Foley, there isn't much of a better example of someone who was in the top flight, in that top position for so long, that really didn't have the look. You know, in an era where the look was everything, when you got Hulk Hogan running around and you got, you know...
he was a booker.
Yeah, he was a booker, yeah, which was the benefit, yeah.
Number four, Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm very keen to see this one because I love Steve Austin's promos, man. This guy is fucking fantastic. What do you say about the biggest draw in wrestling in the history of the business?
I'll talk about Austin later.
Okay.
I'm somewhat intrigued by stalling tactics there. I'm going to call them stalling tactics. I'm going to call them for what they are. The Zabisco special. Shocking he wasn't on this list.
Should have been.
I say that sincerely.
Yeah. Oh, no, we'll get to omissions like a long time.
But Steve Austin's promos are fantastic. And even if you were to take away during the peak of his run, I still think there's some great work in there even so. Stuff with the Hollywood Blondes that we mentioned before. The stuff that he was doing with Kurt is fantastic. And possibly the peak of it, I know it's not one that gets talked about so much because they talk more about the guitar one, but it's the one that we've all watched before where Vince is giving the pep talk and Austin's there, hands on his hips, just chiming in every now and then.
Repeating every word Vince
absolute,
says.
Absolutely, and he's just... I think whilst the Austin heel turn wasn't the right thing from a business standpoint, and didn't, you know, obviously it was a detriment to their bottom line. I still think from a creatively speaking, I think some of those promos were still brilliant.
Again, I think for me, Austin's just like the bulk of his career. I remember when the Steve Austin DVD came out, and there's the one that I'd never seen before of him at the Slammies before WrestleMania 13, where he does the promo on Bret Hart, and he is just so full of fire. And you can just, and he's got that gum in his mouth, and he's just firing it off. Fuck me. He is one of the best promos I've ever seen.
You can see that. You can see it, because it almost sort of it translates like through his body almost. Like, you can see that he's thinking, this is the old, you know, this is it. I've got to swing for the fences here, because this is my moment to break through.
Late 96, 97, where he's kind of building this character up, where you just see something really special in terms of his delivery. I love that kind of early heel Stone Cold Steve Austin, where he's just trash talking everybody, he's interrupting interviews or whatever, and he's just like, that's actually my kind of favourite period of Stone Cold.
You put the letter S in front of Hitman and you get my exact opinion of him.
Yeah. That's my favourite period of Stone Cold Steve Austin as a serious character. To go from being like such a serious badass character to being so genuinely funny.
Yeah, it's a
great range.
The people that I see as the most genuinely hilarious people I've ever seen on the wrestling show. Steve Austin, between the Austin Detective Agency, look through the blinds to the to the angle stuff like you've mentioned. This guy's just fucking great. So even the point where even one of the most forgotten things about the great scene with Vince in the hospital, everyone talks about the bedpan and the hose up the ass. There's the one point where he's just pounding away on Vince's foot. We're now talking top three, and at number three is Rowdy Roddy Piper, the man who is listed in the W.com's top 50 heels as the top heel of all time, if I recall correctly. Tough thing with Piper too, because over the course of his career, Piper, he tailed off quite badly at points, to the point where if you look at him in his later years, you might see bits of Piper and think, why is this guy so highly lauded? But at his best, Piper is absolutely... I mean, he's on another level. There's a YouTube channel called All Out of Bubblegum or something like that, and it's just basically a bunch of promos from Piper in 85 and 86 when he's really at his best, and he is just at a different level to almost anybody I've ever seen. Piper is awesome in 85 and 86.
Well, he does the real donkey work for the first WrestleMania. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
His talking is what helped.
Somewhat racist.
Borderline racist, yes, but as was the style at the time. but no, Piper is fantastic. And if you go back to some of the stuff in Georgia Championship Wrestling and the build-up to the feud with Valentine for the chain match, possibly the only good chain match in existence.
Yeah, prove us wrong, Cena and Russo.
Yeah, balls in your court. Like I said, the 85-86 stuff is his peak. He does tail off quite badly after 92 at the end of that WWF run.
Yes, he does.
Whenever he comes back, it's not usually good.
No.
And the WCW stuff is nothing to write home about. I always think... He comes out and cuts the promo on Hogan at the end of Halloween Havoc, where he says, "I'm here to break your monotony," and then promptly delivers a rambling
and then continues to talk until the pay-per-view goes off the air
and everyone's lost interest. So I love Piper at his peak. I wouldn't put him top three though.
Really?
And he would probably be just outside my top five.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's gotta be right there, I think. Contender for top five. You have to go through in minutiae to really get an order, but just goddamn brilliant at times, and just original and different, and just there's not many guys like that, especially not anymore. So
no.
I mean, without repeating what's been said, yeah, just no doubt about it.
Yeah, there's some guys that really stand when you watch their stuff back again, doesn't hold up as well. Piper, like I said, 85-86 totally stands up and looks like he's on a different wavelength to pretty much everybody on the planet today.
I don't have a big fat pushed in nose and grimy nasty ears, but I can understand why they want to cheer for Bruno Sammartino, because he reminds them of all the women in Boston. You married the same thing, isn't it? I can understand why they would want to cheer for Orndorff, because He don't think either. You know, he's never had a thought cross his mind. Sometimes he's got to have someone tell him when to go to the bathroom. These are the guys that are your heroes.
He's trying to, you can see it like in later periods, he's trying to recreate what he had once, and it's
yeah,
just like,
I see what you mean.
It's almost like someone with Alzheimer's trying to remember something.
All right, which takes us to the top two. In second place, The Rock.
I think you've got to look at Austin Rock as a comparison. For me, it comes down to Rock. Steve Austin is, for me, the prototypical pro wrestling promo. I think he's just unbelievably good. Everything you said. But Rock is the anomaly on this list, because what did he ever even say? But god damn, he's so fucking charismatic. He is the most charismatic man in the world.
Most dynamic promo.
And you want a prediction, folks, he will be president of the United States one day. I'm not even joking about this. I'm deadly serious. He is just...
That'd
he's
be awesome.
He's
President
like,
Rock.
You take all these categories. It's like, yeah, he said about Hogan. Hogan's all charisma. Rock is just a different. With Rock, it was all charisma in the way he spoke. He doesn't even. Half the time, it didn't even matter what he said. I can't. Apart from, you know, just great lines. He made shit material fantastic. Who does that? Who makes Vince Russo who makes their material good? It's like,
and who can survive the 50-50 booking, almost based completely on his charisma and talking?
He's a complete anomaly just because of the charisma he has when he talks. Rock can't be graded on the same scale as anyone else. And for that reason, I'd have him number one, because he transcends this business. He transcends entertainment. He's fucking just incredibly charismatic. He's just different planet to everyone else. As a pure wrestling promo, if I wanted a guy to cut a main event wrestling promo, I'd have Steve Austin. Just the fire, the intensity, the narrative, the pacing, just absolutely
wonderful. Conviction of character.
Yeah, just absolutely wonderful. But you're talking pure charisma, pure words coming out of a guy's mouth. It doesn't even matter what, but you're engaged by a guy talking.
Yeah.
Rock all day. He's just
That's a very similar, great way that you put that there, that when a guy talks, you're transfixed. Very much the Dusty Rhodes syndrome.
Yeah.
But times 10 in Rock's case for me.
The Rock is... He is, like, to say when you were saying about the anomaly, he's the exception, not the rule, in terms of this list. This guy, I agree, he's number one for me. The guy, you know, you've talked about, like, you know, Austin does a lot more better of a straight promo, just kind of like a very kind of straight to the point. But The Rock's promos, whilst, and I mentioned earlier about like Hogan kind of repeating a lot of his own stuff, you know, Rock is guilty of that. But then that was kind of part of his shtick, and it was also to do with like what the Attitude Era was like at the time, where, you know, catchphrases were kind of king at that point. Through his verbal skills and his charisma, the guy's a freaking movie star, for Christ's sake. I mean, like, you know, the Furious 7, whatever, is just breaking all records. All
yeah,
the
they're
place.
Terrible fucking films, but yes, he's a movie star.
I like him, but it's just like, but that's what he is, and that's more so than anyone else that's on this list, where he's transcended wrestling.
The Condemned was better. Rock's a bit of a difficult one for me. Don't get me wrong, still top five, but I find it difficult in the sense of he doesn't have a lot of the natural things I'm drawn to in a promo. When I reference about content, and I reference about promos that are too laden with catchphrases, to me Rock is guilty on the catchphrase front, and doesn't necessarily always have the content that I find entertaining. I am more of a fan of the straight wrestling promo,
as opposed to Kung Pao Bitch, for example.
Yeah, yes, or Who in the Blue Hell Are You, sort of thing, you know, things like that. That being said, his delivery is so fantastic that it is able to counterbalance what I would consider things that aren't necessarily to my taste.
But I'll be sure to come back when the Lakers beat the Kings in May.
Okay, we'll move along now to the only guy who is left on this list. The Nature Boy Ric Flair ranks at number one on this WWE.com fiesta, extravaganza, whatever you want to call it at this point. The Nature Boy is one of the all-time greats. Flair, what are you going to say about Ric Flair's promos?
Yes, there's not an awful lot we can say, really.
Yeah, it's...
If you've got him at number one, can't argue with it. But in terms of Flair's promos... I mean, the sleeper stuff, people forget about the, and I know we've talked about it on previous podcasts, people forget about the WWF promos. You know, the promo specifically after the Rumble, specifically the one after he loses the belt to Macho, you know, those are two of the standout ones. But he was great. He was a great talker throughout all of that period. And I'd have a hard time thinking of any circumstances in which he wouldn't make my top five.
Absolutely, I absolutely agree with him. He said, like, even if someone started putting him around the fifth or fourth mark, I think you'd kind of taken the piss. personally, he's probably I'm probably gonna have a number two. He's right. I'm having him the opposite way round. Though I'm really not gonna argue if anyone has him as number one. I do love 80s Slick Rick. I do love that. But I love crazy ass babyface Rick more. I don't know why. There's something about it where it's probably even more believable, I think, where it's just like he's just so off the wall at that point and he's just crazy and he's just looking for a fight. Yeah. And it's just like I love that guy. The thing which
I love Slick Rick more.
I do like Slick Rick. It's very hard, but on the times like I do like both, but the crazy babyface flair makes me smile. Within the bubble of each guy's individual period, it's just like The Rock had a lot of things on his side, while Rick, he didn't, because he was in the number two company. Yeah. You know, there was poor video production at the time. You know, things didn't look as pristine as the WWF. And so, you know, Rick was the only thing, probably, in that company that did look, ironically, slick and sophisticated, because, you know, he lived the gimmick. He kind of looked like a WWF guy in WCW. By the polish, yeah.
Okay, so just around the table very, very quickly. G, you said Rock number one?
Yeah.
Kieran, you said Rock number one?
Rock, yeah.
Carl, what are you going with for number one?
I'm going with Foley out of pure bias.
Okay, I'll go Rock number one too for the reasons stated previously. Just to get some notable omissions, and feel free to throw some around the table here. Mm. Austin Idol, who's a fantastic pro, if you've never seen any of his Memphis stuff, go and watch Austin Idol, he's awesome. Mad Dog Vachon, I'm surprised didn't make this list, and he's got a delivery that I can see some people not liking because of that constantly gruff delivery, but man, he was a fiery son of a bitch, and especially in the Montreal territory and even in the AWA when he was a heel and turned babyface against the Russians. Mad Dog was just, he was so convincing in his role. Very, very convincing. I mean, you see like guys like Miz on there. I don't know how Mad Dog is not. Bruno Sammartino is in terms of a guy who's a great promo in his way. Larry Zbysko we mentioned earlier on. I watched a lot of the Bruno Larry promos built to Shea Stadium, based off Dave Meltzer.
Telling you what they should. Same recommendation.
Yeah, Dave Meltzer recommended it, and I went back and watched them. Boris Malenko and Curtis Iaquira, too, that always get mentioned. I'm surprised didn't get referenced here, not because I've personally seen tons of their promos, I'm curious that guys who have great promo reputations weren't listed on here. Bruiser Brody's a fucking great promo. Bruiser Brody, why is he not on the list? And The Miz is, and Joel Gertner is, and some of these assholes are.
The answer for Brody's fairly simple, isn't it? He never worked for the company.
Yeah, the Joel Gertner.
That's not.
Why? Well, he worked for one night stand.
I'm not.
New Jack, then.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it makes it right by any means, but.
Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, obviously.
Andy Kaufman. Come on, he deserves
a fee.
He deserves to be in that list. Any other suggestions from you guys? Until glaring omissions, you mentioned Jim Ross before. G. Anybody else?
Tully Blanchard.
Ole Anderson.
Blanchard, yeah. Soli.
Gordon Soli. Yeah, as a guy who's a talker. Yeah, if you put commentators in there.
Eric Bischoff.
Oh, Bischoff. Oh, that's a good one.
Fuck yeah, Bischoff.
What a cocksucker he was at times, you know.
In terms of like commentators, probably like definitely low down in the list. What about Styles himself?
I've never rated him as highly because hardly any of his stuff was live. So, I thought he was overrated at the time, part of the ECW hype machine, like so many individuals.
Freddie Blassie, perhaps.
Freddie Blassie, I was shocked.
Yeah, Freddie Blassie. I was going to say when I started seeing like the Grand Wizard, I was like, "Wait!" And Lou Albano, and it's like, "Where's the third man? Where's the third guy?"
You scroll down, waiting to see him, don't you? Yeah, the fact totally. That he's not there is shocking.
Jimmy Hart,
possibly. If you want to talk about Memphis
Jimmy, yeah, absolutely.
Memphis Jimmy, the one promo, one of my favorite promos when Lawler's injured. Have you seen that one when Lawler breaks his leg and he says what he do with a racehorse once he breaks his leg?
Oh, yeah.
And he just turns like full blown heel into the top heel and kind of Lawler babyface by de facto.
I can't remember, is the Kaufman feud when obviously he's a heel to start the draw against, going against Jerry, and they tease 1 month he goes face. and he's like the biggest fucking face on the show.
He's great.
He's amazing. I mean, he ends up turning, which is more hilarity. But yeah, he was never ever had any stock in Jimmy Hart from like probably anything I saw in the WWF. I just never give a shit about him. Memphis stuff, I was very impressed.
Yeah, very impressed. I want to thank everybody for listening this far. Next week we will be back with a show, and we want your feedback on bad gimmicks made good. This can obviously just be a bad gimmick that was made good by the performer, or it can be one that you took some personal kind of interest in and favoritism to, based on how it was executed. So send those in to scgradio@hotmail.com to get them read guaranteed on the show, and we will be back next week. So for G. John Chase,
finish him.
For Carl Jones,
I'm out of booze.
And for Kieran O'Rourke,
I'm out of love.
I am Liam O'Rourke.
I'm not afraid.
I'm Liam O'Rourke. We're out of here. Where did that come from?
He's out of beer.
Oh my God! I almost forgot the fourth horseman. Ric Flair, go!
Make your boy Ric Flair is coming to Winnipeg. Here he is, the world heavyweight.
You know, I can't help that I'm custom made. I can't help, but I'll tell you this. I can't help that I look good, feel good, can't dance all night long. I can't help that I'm custom made. I can't help, but I'll tell you this. I can't help that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
That's the world champion.
Woo! Can't dance all night long.
Woo!
Can't dance all night long.
Woo!
Can't dance all night long.
The Winnipeg Arena's gonna be on fire.
Woo!
Gonna be on fire. So you know what I'm talking about?
Woo! I guess Allah! You really wanna jump off it?